Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Two chapters after our gospel lesson this morning in Mark chapter 10, a rich man would come to Jesus and ask him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And then Jesus would tell him finally that this man lacked one thing. He was to go, sell all that he had and give to the poor, and then he would have treasure in heaven. And he was to go and follow Jesus. Now, some Christians have erred in history by assuming this command is a universal command, that all believers are called to sell everything and give their proceeds to the poor. But it is not. This was the particular command, this was the specific application of God's holy law that Jesus knew in his perfect wisdom that the rich man needed to hear. But the principle behind this command can be applied to every one of us Christians. For we Christians must be willing to sacrifice earthly, temporal things in order to gain spiritual, heavenly things. If you've been confirmed, you made a promise before God and your fellow Christians to do this very thing. You are asked, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? You answered, I do, by the grace of God. And as we've been learning in our Sunday morning Bible study series this summer, there have been many Christians throughout history, and even this day, who have given up every earthly thing, including their very lives, for the sake of the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Stephen, Perpetua, Polycarp, Romanus, Agatha, these are all saints about whom we've learned or will learn very soon. And there are many, many more that we will meet in the resurrection. And there are still others who haven't given up their lives, but have sacrificed other matters of earthly significance for Jesus' sake. There are those who have been disowned by their families. There are those who have been fired from their jobs. Those who have been imprisoned. Those who've been sued, those who've been attacked, those who've been mocked and abused. Someday this may be called of you. Someday you may be called upon to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this confession and church. Perhaps you've already been called upon to suffer significant loss for the sake of the gospel. But if you're a Christian, you have already sacrificed something. You've already set aside some things for the sake of Jesus Christ and his word. Time, money, rest, comfort. You've done so this very day, this very morning. If you're sitting here in the pews today, you have already given up something. You could be sleeping in right now. You could be going to the golf course or Frontier Park or on a hike or just working in your garden. But you've set aside time and rest and leisure in order to receive the spiritual blessings that Jesus has for you in this very place today. You could have chosen to stay in your pajamas, sit in your recliner, drink a cup of fresh ground gourmet coffee. But you set aside your comfort in order to get dressed, to sit in these very pews, to hear God's word as it is preached and taught, to receive Jesus' true body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And I know that you could probably use a few extra $100 each month, if not for your bills, then for your own personal enjoyment. But instead, you set aside a proportion of your income and give it to this congregation so that you could have pastors and hymnals and a building devoted to the worship of the triune God that has electricity and running water. So again, every Christian should be willing to sacrifice temporal things for eternal things. And sometimes those sacrifices are indeed significant. Life, goods, fame, child, or wife. And they might be asked of you someday. But such sacrifices are not always great. And the sacrifices that are expected of you right now are not that great. Again, the temporal sacrifices that are expected of you as a Christian today are simply to wake up a little bit earlier than you might otherwise, to take 2 or 3 hours out of your day to come to church, And by faith, these are things that you do gladly, that often you do without giving a second thought, because the treasure that you receive in return is of incomparable worth: forgiveness of your sins, rescue from death and the devil, an eternal home in heaven, an inheritance of things above, growth in wisdom and knowledge given by the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through his blessed word. The crowd of more than 4,000, of which we heard in today's gospel lesson, found their treasure in Jesus. That's why they were willing to seek him out and remain with him despite the heavy earthly costs. Men and women and children came, young and old, married and single, fathers and mothers bringing their little ones, even infants, to a desolate, dry, mountainous region in the heat of the sun, all because they treasured the man Jesus, hoping not only to receive a miracle, but to hear the words of eternal life that he would preach to them. And he did. He preached the life-giving word of God for a day. And then when that sun began to set, those 4,000 plus there didn't pack up their things to head home. They gladly camped out under the stars on the hard ground just so they could hear Jesus preach again the next day. And he did again. He preached to them on the second day, and they listened to him gladly. And at the end of the day, the same thing happened. They spent the night under the open sky to hear him again. How deeply they desired the words that came from Jesus' mouth. What a wonderful example for us Christians, as they sacrificed every earthly comfort for the sake of heavenly treasure. This is an encouragement to us also, as we might grumble a bit when the air conditioner doesn't quite keep up, when the sermon or the hymns run a bit along, or when we're dealing with rambunctious children in the pews. But on the third day of this church service on the mountain, the weakness of the flesh finally caught up to the willingness of the Spirit. The people probably didn't think that they would be with Jesus in that desolate place for 3 days, and who could blame them? The few provisions that they had brought were now gone. Being the desert, there weren't any options for sustenance. This was a problem indeed, for they had come from a long way, and they could never make it back to their homes without something to eat. And so from this we also see that it doesn't matter how strong your faith may be, or how zealous you are for the gospel, or how earnestly you desire the treasures of heaven, you are still flesh and blood, and at some point you need to care for the body that you have been given by God. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was the seventh day. It was to the Lord God for his worship. But the Israelites still had to work the other 6 days of the week. In our gospel lesson, the crowds were with Jesus for 3 days, feasting on the bread of life, and yet their bodies still grew faint without daily bread. You may faithfully come to church every Sunday morning without fail, but if you're a diabetic, you need something to eat before too long. If you have back problems, you can't sit in the pew all day. You probably need to get up and walk around. If you have children, or even just a dog, you need to go home and feed them. You may cheerfully and proportionally give the first fruits of what you earn, but you still need some income to pay your mortgage and fill your gas tank. Now, this need to care for the body even as we seek the needs of the soul has been the case from the beginning of the creation, even before the fall into sin. In the Garden of Eden, Adam still had to eat. He still had to work the garden and keep it, as we heard this morning. But for Adam, because there was no sin, that work was never toilsome and it was never futile, and never came in conflict with worshiping the Lord God with his wife Eve. But since his fall into sin, now we, his children, feel the needs of the body as though they were in competition, even conflict, with the needs of the soul. Eating isn't simply a matter of walking up to your favorite tree and picking off your fruit. It means planting and harvesting and ranching and slaughtering and buying and selling and cooking and cleaning, all of which takes time, money, effort, care, and concern, and thus takes time, money, effort, care, and concern away from those heavenly things that your soul needs. Again, before sin, the needs of the body and the needs of the soul were rightly ordered, and Adam and Eve could perfectly care for both. But since there is sin in the world, since we ourselves are flesh and blood sinners, we cannot rightly order our needs of the body with the needs of the soul. We cannot purely sacrifice those temporal things without feeling the conflict between what our soul needs and what our bodies need. Yes, even when we sacrifice what is earthly for what is heavenly, we can't help but take notice. We can't help but feel it in ourselves. And so you might take 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday morning to come to church, and yet in the back of your mind, there's the housework that needs to be done. There's the rumble in your stomach. There's the bleariness in your eyes because you were out too late last night. You take time in the morning to begin your day with the Word of God and prayer, yes, but you begin to wonder if maybe those kids are going to be late for school because of the time you're taking to pray. Or maybe you're not going to get your project done in time for work. You give proportionally the first fruits of your income to support your congregation, but you can't help but imagine how much easier it'd be to pay the bill for your car repairs if you had that offering back in your pocket. In the garden, it wasn't so, but it is now. Even pious Christians find the needs of the body and the needs of the soul to be in conflict. And how easy it is for those bodily needs to overtake the needs of the soul. To stop coming to church in order that you can get a few more projects done. To stop reading your Bible in order that you can have an extra 10 or 15 minutes in your morning. To stop giving an offering in order that you can comfortably pay all your bills and have a little bit extra each month. This is sin. We are called to sacrifice temporal things for spiritual things. And we are called to do so gladly. God, He has no trouble distinguishing between the two. For God, there is no conflict between the needs of the body and the needs of the soul. God has no difficulty bestowing all those spiritual things that you need more than anything else, while still taking care of those necessary things for your bodily life. God knows exactly what to give you, when to give you, and how to give to you. For He is the creator of both your body and soul. This we confess. I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, and He still takes care of them, plural. He takes care of your soul and your body. As we prayed this morning in the collect, His never-failing providence orders all things in heaven and on earth. All things. Temporal and spiritual, body and soul. And so He will rightly and wonderfully put away from us all hurtful things and give us all things that are profitable for us. Again, profitable here in time, but also there in eternity. God knows exactly how to feed your soul with the bread of heaven, that bread that never perishes. While at the same time, He knows exactly when and where and how to give you daily bread so that your body and life might be sustained. God knows exactly how to do this because He's compassionate too toward us. As Jesus told the disciples there on the mountain, Jesus had compassion on the crowds, compassion for their souls, which is why He took 3 days to preach to them, morning to night, but also compassion for their bodies. He knew their physical need, and He took those physical needs to heart. Not only did He feel for them, but He also helped them. He took the 7 loaves in His almighty hands, He gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to hand out to the 4,000. And He did the same with the fish, in order that their bodily needs might be satisfied in abundance, just as He had also abundantly satisfied their spiritual needs over the past 3 days. Yes, Jesus had compassion on the crowd. He knew exactly what their souls and bodies needed. He wanted to help them with both, and he perfectly provided both. How could he do otherwise? He himself has both. This is the great mystery of our Christian faith. Jesus Christ come in the flesh, having body and soul just like ours. For him to have compassion on us means that he suffers with us. He knows what we are going through. But that human nature, that flesh and blood, body and soul, is also united in one person with his divinity, his godhood. Jesus Christ is true God of infinite wisdom and power, while at the same time being true man, having a human body and soul himself. And the two work together. Indeed, his divine power and authority work through his humanity to meet our human needs. Again, this is the great mystery of the faith, that Jesus Christ, having human hands just like yours, hands that took 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, were at the same time all-powerful, blessed hands, the hands of God himself. And so in his hands, the 7 loaves were more than enough to feed the 4,000 men plus women and children. At other times, again, his divine power was exercised through those human hands, touching a leper so that the leper might be clean, touching the coffin of a dead man so that the dead man might be raised, taking a little girl by the hand and raising her up back to life. With his body, Christ, our dear Lord, the only begotten Son of God, provided for the needs of our bodies. But all the more, with that body, Jesus Christ provided for the utmost needs of your soul. For in the fullness of time, the Son of God went to the cross to suffer in his body for you as your perfect substitute, offering a sacrifice that he and he alone could offer, a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He sacrificed himself in order to acquire eternal heavenly treasure for you. By offering his body once and for all, Christ, a true man for true men, yet at the same time the true Son of God, made perfect atonement for your sins and the sins of the whole world. He paid the deathly wages that you deserve for your sin. And with those awful wages now paid by Christ for you, all that remains is a free gift, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Of course, that life, that eternal life, was restored to Jesus in his body and soul on the 3rd day. When Christ rose again on Easter Sunday, he rose again in his flesh and blood. Flesh and blood that he also then took with him as he ascended into heaven. And so the author of Hebrews says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." You have a brother according to the flesh, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus looks on you in compassion. He knows and feels your needs with you, whether they be physical or spiritual, because he is human to this very day and even forevermore. He has the same flesh and blood, body and soul that you do. But of course, he also is true God forevermore, and therefore he has the power to help you, graciously bestowing upon you all that you need, not just for this body and life, but for eternity. And therefore, we need not worry about anything. Though there are still many earthly matters that demand our attention, though those concerns are always whispering in the back of our minds, even as we are striving for heavenly matters, your compassionate and merciful Lord knows all of your needs of body and soul. And he loves you. Because Jesus loves you, he will take care of these things perfectly, providing for both. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." But he also says, "And all of these things, your food and clothing and everything else your body needs, all of these things will be added unto you." So if Christ has called you to leave behind everything to follow him, as he did to the rich man long ago, Don't think that he will neglect what you've left behind for his sake. If he commands you to seek him first, which he does, then he will strengthen you through his word, strengthen your faith to do just that, while promising to add to you all that is overlooked in this world as you look toward the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, the crowd that was with Jesus on the mountain sought this kingdom and righteousness first. They were glad to hear Jesus preach the word of God, the gospel, for 3 days. But they still got hungry. Jesus had compassion, and so he sent them away satisfied. He bestowed upon them all their physical need, even while bestowing upon them the greatest spiritual blessings. So also you've come here to this church, this holy house this morning, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. And that search is satisfied. For here in this place, in this very morning, in your hearing of the word, in your communion on Jesus' body and blood, you receive the fruits of Jesus' sacrifice that strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. And even as you sit here in this pew or there in the social hall during Bible study, even as you kneel at this altar, Jesus is watching over and taking care of all of those needs that are outside of this wall, outside of these walls. So that when the service is completed, when you've been fed and nourished in your soul by the word of God, you can go from this place back to work, back to your family, your neighbors, back to your bills, back to that daily bread which God graciously gives you. No, do not worry about the temporal things that you are sacrificing in order to gain the spiritual things here. Instead, trust. Trust in Jesus, for he is your compassionate Lord, and he has promised to provide for all of your needs of this body and life, even as he has taken care of your spiritual need of salvation. And finally, in his good time, he will receive you into his eternal rest, where you will be satisfied in body and soul eternally, while you worship and praise his holy name eternally as well. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.